We are back on the Financial Survival Network. This is Carrie Lutz. It is June 2nd. That's a Monday, and that means it's time for Mickey Fulp's major monthly market review. Mickey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Carrie. Lots of travel the past month. Was field tripping and a conference in your home in New York, and so back in the saddle in the office again.
Former home of New York, but I guess there's once a New Yorker, always a New Yorker, but that's where the action took place this past month in the major markets because the stock markets, right?
They both hit all-time highs, the Dow and the S&P 500. In fact, I think they both closed at the end of the month on all-time highs. But if you look at it, this comes amid very low volatility and volume. So I don't know what to make of these weekly highs or sometimes daily highs. It's very incremental. More volatile is the NASDAQ and the Russell 2000. NASDAQ was up 3% over the month. Russell 2000 was up a little less than 1%. But they've been mainly flat over the year, really, incrementally higher. Toronto Stock Exchange lost a little bit, but it hit, a six-year high last month. Then we go on to the Venture Exchange, and we can say this. There is no sell in May and go away happening. The problem is there's no bid, so volumes have been very low, and that index is just kind of treading water right now. It was down about 2% over the month. Finally, the best performing amongst the markets this month was the Emerging Markets Index, up a little bit more than 3%, and that's basically because China is trying to stimulate its economy.
Yeah, I know they've been trying to stimulate it, and they've been stimulating it now for 6 years, like the rest of the world. Only they're even less transparent than the rest of the world, and we all know how this is going to end. And on to the metals.
Well, gold and silver both hit four-month lows. This is probably largely due to seasonal weakness in the precious metals as we come into the summer. We always expect gold to have a seasonal low sometime in generally July and August. Sometimes it's in June. Also attributed would be a stronger U.S. dollar. And with gold dipping below 1250, this would be a buying op, I think, for people that hoard gold, such as myself. But caution is the word. I would fully expect gold to test the $1,200 level at some point this summer. On the other hand, the platinum was up 1.5%, but it's still way below 1500 an ounce. But palladium hit a 2.5-year high, up as high as I think 849. At the end of the month, it was 836. This is directly attributable to a 19-week ongoing strikes in South Africa, which have become increasingly violent. This has also driven ETF demand. Both those metals, the ETFs are at all-time high for dollars invested. And you got to throw in the problems that the rest of the world is having with Russia and the sanctions. And there's always this threat that maybe the Russians will choose to withhold some palladium from the market. As far as the metal ratios, gold, silver still at 66. Platinum has, the gold has hit a high since we started tracking at 1.16. Platinum to palladium, on the other hand, hit a low this month, and that has to do with the strength of platinum and the demand for platinum over palladium and as auto catalyst. Finally, we had a big rally in copper. With continuing depletion of inventories, seasonal demand. This is the high season for copper, the construction season in North America. And it's also in very strong backwardation on the 3- and 6-month contracts right now. So it ended the month at 315, which is a high, basically a high since we had the correction a couple of months ago.
Yep. And then we get on to our energy sector. Major things happening there as well.
Well, both oils were up on geopolitical risk, I would say, with problems in the Ukraine, ongoing problems in Syria. Both those countries have roles in the supply or the transport of world oil and gas. WTI almost at $1.03, Brent at $1.09 and change. We saw a seasonal low, if you will, on Henry Hub gas. Was down 7% over the month, but still at $4.50. And I dare say it looks like we're establishing some sort of base around this 450 level, with each month going up or down, depending on inventories, depending on demand. Now we have the cooling season starting in most of the United States, so we'd expect a seasonal rise perhaps in gas over the next couple of months. The arbitrage between Brent and WTI continues to narrow at 1.07. And that seems to happen. The higher the geopolitical risk goes in the world, the lower this arbitrage gets. And I don't really have a reason. I just noticed that today.
Yeah.
Finally, uranium broke through its base of $30. It's at $28.25, although it's held that price for about a week now. But simply supply is greater than demand, and it's also exacerbated by the fact that two banks have left the uranium trade in over the last couple of months. And so you don't have as active traders in this market now.
Yeah, and I'd just like to comment on the natural gas situation, the Henry Hub. We just had a rule come down today, or proposed rule by the EPA on the whole greenhouse gas thing, that could profoundly affect natural gas going into the future, with basically cutting the legs out from coal-fired power plants. But we've got a lot of litigation ahead of us on that. Questions as to the president's ability to even basically put forth that type of executive order, that pretty much cap and trade failed in Congress. Now the president's trying to do it on his own. So that remains to be seen what's going to be there. Now we get down to currencies, and we actually had a little bit of movement for a change. This is like watching maple syrup, yeah, or watching maple syrup go down a hill, you know.
Yeah, the dollar index finally made it above 80 again. We have a stronger dollar, and of course that equates to a weaker euro. Euro was down almost 2% to $1.36, and a lot of this is probably baked in with what's going to happen this week, and that's Draghi and the ECB are going to meet this week, and they're going to stimulate, and they say that all options are on the table. So we certainly expect measures to be promulgated this week that's going to further, we would think, weaken the euro. Finally, the 10-year bond rates went down again, and they are now at the exact same level that they were last June, at about $2.50 or $2.48 was the end of the month. When the short was called at your Liberty Mastermind Symposium, trade really hasn't worked out very well, and it just illustrates the difficulty of shorting markets. It's something that I've never chosen to do because it's pretty risky. And to wrap up, Bitcoin bubbles are being blown up again by the Bitcoin buffs. We saw Bitcoin go up a whopping $169 over the month. That's up 38% in the month of May. But caution is advised, too. If you look at Bitcoin's performance since the beginning of 2014, it is still down minus 30%. Obviously, the most volatile market that we have. I like to see a volatility index for Bitcoin. It must be astronomical.
Yeah, it's yeah, Bitcoin. But you know, it just it keeps moving along there. You know, it's
up or down.
Yeah,
if you could play Bitcoin and figure it out, You could probably make a lot of money, but that's probably pretty risky too, because you keep throwing these wild cards down, like Mt. Gox goes bankrupt and Silk Road gets busted by the feds, and the IRS comes in and decides how they're going to tax Bitcoin transactions. So lots of wild cards in that game.
Yeah, Bitcoin arbitrage.
If you play poker at my house, Kerry, you will know there are no wild cards allowed.
Bitcoin arbitrage, that is the market of the future, because if you can buy in one exchange and sell in another, you can make a fortune.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not that liquid, so they're not really markets. Anyway, Mickey, tell us where we find you.
Mercenarygeologist.com. At Mercenary Geo is the Twitter handle, and as per usual, this interview will be in the rotation of the 24/7 radio station, streaming audio on the internet, mercenarygeologist.fm.
All right, and financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Don't forget, sign up for the newsletter. We got some big changes coming up ahead, and we're going to have a fracking conference shortly. As soon as Dr. Frackenstein gets back, he's moved from North Dakota to Texas. It's going to be a good one. We'll talk to you again next month, Mickey. Be well.
Thanks a lot, Kerry.